Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Before a person can enjoy the promise of eternal life, he must become a Christian. He must believe in Christ, repent of his sins, confess his faith in Christ, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. God has promised forgiveness of sins to those who will obey. But this does not guarantee heaven. There is a life to be lived as a Christian, and that life must include an active, faithful service to God. This is an essential part of New Testament Christianity. Some who have been baptized are not serving as they should. And before we can serve, we must be fit to serve. Before we can be used, we must be usable. Having changed our relationship with God by becoming a Christian, assuming new responsibilities and benefiting from the blessings, we are to worship, we are to study, we're also to do good works. Christianity is a life of doing good as God has defined that good. Now let us not misunderstand the purpose of doing good. This does not mean that we can please God by good works alone. Nobody can earn their way to heaven. We cannot buy eternal life. We can never deserve nor merit salvation. Good works are essential to going to heaven once we have become Christians, just as is faith and repentance and confession and baptism are essential in coming to Christ. But James teaches that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. There is the work of obedience in becoming a Christian that is absolutely essential. And there is the work of a Christian that follows thereafter. The reason our works of obedience and the good works thereafter are of value is because of the grace and mercy of God and the merit of the blood of Christ. We show our faith by our works. In James chapter 2, 14 through 20, we have this emphasized to us. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Jesus had taught, Even so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Now we're taught that we're to follow the example of Christ. And in Acts 10 and verse 38, Peter said, Jesus went about doing good. So we're to be a people, that Paul says are zealous of good works, Titus 2 and verse 14. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before created in Christ Jesus, that we should walk in them. We're to be careful to maintain good works, Titus 3, verse 8 and verse 14. And James wrote, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4 and verse 17. Now this should be evidence sufficient for us to understand the necessity of good works and the purpose of them and how God expects them. We can classify good works possibly into two groups. There are good works of a spiritual nature and good works of a material nature. The spiritual good works are those that primarily apply to one's soul rather than to one's physical welfare. Jesus was teaching the will of God, condemning sin, upholding righteousness, showing man how he ought to be saved from sin, and this was primarily for the benefit of the soul of man. And when we teach people the plan of salvation and their responsibilities as Christians, when we are fishers of men for the Lord, this is spiritual good work, providing spiritual nourishment for the soul and giving encouragement, offering the divine spiritual guidance for life, planting the seed of the kingdom, which is the Word of God. We are involved in spiritual good works. To lead another to see the value of his soul and to conform to the will of God to save his soul is the greatest work that one can do for another. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's doing spiritual good works. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And similarly, James wrote, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Dear people, these things are spiritual good works. Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature, was the message of Christ. That's spiritual good works. Now, we do not want to overlook the good spiritual work of encouraging one another to be faithful and to be strong. After all, we are our brother's keeper, and we have responsibility toward each other to help each other get to heaven. We cannot be indifferent to the problems and the temptations, even the weaknesses and dangers that we face and that are being faced by our brethren. God does not want the Christian to have to go it alone, but has provided for fellowship with deity and with the saved. We should provoke one another, not to anger, not to sin, but, as Hebrews 10:24 says, provoke one another unto love and good works. In times of loss and bereavement and discouragements, we need to be able to rely on one another. God knows the toils of life can bend to the spirit. Paul wrote, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4. Part of our Christian duty, then, is to be a source of relief and comfort to others who are in need. God has given spiritual assurances and hope to the Christian. That's a part of his comfort. Paul wrote concerning the end of time and the resurrection of the redeemed and concluded his remarks by saying, wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18. All these things that I have mentioned are good works. They are spiritual good works. But there's another kind of good works in the material realm. Although the soul is more important than the body, we cannot overlook the physical needs of those to whom we have opportunity and responsibility. Christ considered the physical needs of the 5,000 and of the 4,000 as he fed them with fishes and loaves. Many of his miracles were miracles of healing that brought relief from physical distress and pain and agony and suffering. The report sent to John the Baptist concerning Christ was, "Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached." Luke 7:22. Jesus did good in a physical way for those who were God's children, and also for those who were not. Does not his parable of the Good Samaritan show his endorsement of doing good to others in the need of physical distress? Today, too many are like the priest and like the Levite, willing to pass by on the other side. James 1:27 provides us an inspired definition of pure religion. James wrote, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Something is tragically missing about that person who claims to be a child of God, who would prevent help from being offered to those in need, such as orphans or widows. In the teaching of Christ on the judgment scene of Matthew 25, it is evident that those who were saved were those who had done good works toward the needy, and those who were banished were those who had refused to help. Paul recalled the apostolic message sent to the Gentiles, "Only they would that we should remember the poor, which very thing I was also zealous to do." Galatians 2:10. "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Galatians 6:10. And John wrote, "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Dear listening friend, our first duty is to our brethren, but as we can, we should help those others who suffer in this world. Never forget that the prime work of the Lord's church is the spiritual work of saving souls. But this does not terminate the effort that should be made to also relieve the needy as we have opportunity. Good works, both spiritual and material, they are essential in serving the Lord as Christians. And while they cannot save by themselves, neither can we be saved without them. Christ did good works of both kinds, and so should we. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.